Acts chapter 20, as we continue our series on the book of Acts, we have been following the Apostle Paul specifically right now on his third missionary journey. At this point, he's beginning to wrap up this journey. He's a little over halfway through, and he has, remember the what we saw as he claimed Ephesus for Christ, and the great power of God demonstrated there, and many coming to know Christ. And then we're going to see now he's going to move to his next destination. I'm going to read this, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll also look at a map just to, again, give us a context. But notice with me there in Acts chapter 20, verse 1. And after the uproar, that was the uproar in Ephesus, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Now try saying that very quickly 10 times. These going before tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And tonight I just want to give you a thought as we look at Paul's next steps in his journey, that trusting the Lord in the journey. Trusting the Lord in the journey. Would you pray with me? Mighty God, thank you for the Word of God tonight. And we thank you for the laborers that you have all over the world. And thank you for the Canavans. Lord, thank you for blessing the art camp. And Lord, those young people that heard the gospel and those that responded, we thank you. We pray you'd help them to be discipled, help them to grow. I pray that moms and dads would be saved. I pray that families would be transformed by the gospel. We believe you're a big God, Lord. And we believe that you are an almighty God. We believe that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God, tonight we're going to take you at your word. And we trust that you will do exceedingly great things through the Canavan family and through those children that came to know Christ. And we want to thank you for that. We want to praise you for your faithfulness. And now, Lord, as we look to your word, please help us. Help us to draw strength in the journey. And God will make sure we give you the praise and honor that's due into your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trusting the Lord in the journey is definitely a characteristic that Paul demonstrated. As we notice here, he has faithfully served and he's faithfully preached the gospel in Ephesus. But now it is time to leave. It is time to move on. And I just want to look at a couple things here as we get ready to dive into the text. We're going to look at a chart that's showing his, this is the second missionary journey. This would have been when he would have had his first visit with Ephesus on his way back, to Jerusalem. Remember, he came through here. But remember his second missionary journey, which I think is very interesting to note. He received the Macedonian call in Troas. That's where he would have seen the brethren in need in Macedonia, sent calling and praying and for someone to come. And sure enough, he did go. And of course, he would come back through this route, go over to Ephesus, and would come back and report. And we have that as we've been preaching and studying. But now we go to the third missionary journey, and this is where he's going to retrace his route, very similar to the second, but not exactly. He's going to scoop down here and go through Ephesus first. And so he does that. He's coming through here, and right around Ephesus is where we were in chapter 19. That's where the goddess Diana and the riot took place. And remember the seven sons of Sceva, and remember how God just manifested His presence, and people took their stuff to the bonfire, their idols, and all the things that represented the sin in their lives, and put it in the fire. Well, that's where they were. So He's here at Ephesus and is getting ready to move forward in His missionary journey. He's going to go back to Macedonia. And there's a reason He's going back to Macedonia on this third trip. You'll remember we were studying it during our missions conference. And that is to take up the collection for the saints in Jerusalem. So He's going to come back. And during this third missionary journey, especially from here, from this point all through here, is especially Ephesus, but even up through Troas and here in Macedonia, is where Paul is going to write 1st and 2nd Corinthians and the book of Romans. So this is where Paul would write those letters. We may reference one of those letters that Paul wrote, and even reference the specific time of him getting ready to go to Troas. So again, we're gonna, with the Lord's help, we're gonna make it all the way down where he goes back to Corinth, and that goes through verse 6, and that's where we will go to tonight before he starts returning and going back down through to visit the pastors there at Miletus, where he will exhort them. And so that is good. But anyway, that is where we're going to be tonight, is just talking about after the uproar took place, Paul, the Word of God says that Paul called unto him to his disciples and embraced them. You know, I agree with one author that said that two characteristics that you see about everywhere Paul went is you see antagonism and you see affection. You would see him being antagonized because of his faith and because of what he was preaching. But then you would also equally, most of the time, see some sort of affection that was being shown from believers in that area, or that he was showing affection to. There was a camaraderie there, an encouragement. You know, that's a reminder to us believers. As we walk through this world serving Christ, there will be times where we are antagonized because of our faith. It might come from the enemy. It might come from people he's using to discourage. But nevertheless, always remember, like on a Sunday night like tonight, there are times where we can show affection one for another, where we can love one another and encourage one another. And I'm thankful here at the Creek that I notice very often, I notice people loving each other, supporting each other. I want you to know that stuff does not go unseen. Number one, God sees it. He sees your labor of love. He sees your phone calls and your texts to the brethren, to the members of this church. He sees the letters. He hears your prayers. And God is using it. Just recently, I've heard of people saying, "Pastor, I want to tell you, so-and-so just sent me a random text. So-and-so just sent me a letter in the mail. They just called me out of nowhere." I've heard some just recently that have had birthdays and anniversaries and just said, "Hey, I got a card in the mail from so-and-so." And I just love that. You know, when someone is in this world fighting the flesh and fighting Satan, I want to tell you, the affection of the brethren goes a long way. And I hope, church, that you will take encouragement and continue to do that. I hope you will go out of your way and pray, saying, "God, who can I encourage today? Who can I write a birthday card or an anniversary? Who can I just send a text to and say, 'Hey, thinking about you today and praying for you'?" I'm telling you, it goes a long way, because we're being antagonized a lot from this world, from our wicked flesh that we carry every day, and Satan. And Paul experienced that. He experienced both. But I want to tell you, it's one of the things, the affection of the brethren is many times what helps us keep going strong. Amen. And I want to say dogmatically here tonight, number one, I need the Lord. I know that. I can't do anything without Him. But number two, I say dogmatically and not embarrassingly or shamedly, I need you. I need you. We need each other. We need to support one another. And as this word right here talks about embrace, the idea is coming together. being the idea there, it carries even the idea of being connected. And I'm thankful that we can be connected. Some people would say, what's so important about a Sunday night service? I tell you what's important about a Sunday night service and a Wednesday night service. God's people get more connected. And we need that. And it's not a waste of time. We're not trying to check off some legalistic checkbox that, hey, I went to this service, this service, this service. If we're going to do that, let's just stay home. But no, my friends, we come here to be encouraged in Christ with one another, to be connected in Christ, to grow in our love for the Lord together, and to let the Lord strengthen us by being with each other. And so we see Paul had that. And then notice what it says in verse 2. And when he had gone over those parts, okay, he had departed to go unto Macedonia. So now he's going to go over all to those Macedonian churches. You remember those, don't you? Like Philippi and Thessalonica and others that he is going to visit and eventually make his way down to Corinth. But it says after he had gone over those parts, he had given them much exhortation. Another word you could say right there was a lot of preaching going on. And praise God for preaching. Amen. I love preaching, not just in the sense of preaching to you, but I love preaching myself. In fact, very often, if you were to be riding in my truck, my friends, I have my podcast where I got several preaching podcasts that I listen to because I need preaching. I love preaching. I love it. I love to be confronted by it. I love the truth I hear. It stirs my heart, stirs my mind, and provokes me to righteousness. And Paul did that. When he went there, he exhorted them. He preached the Word of God. And then the Bible says he came into Greece. What was in Greece? That was where the city of Corinth was. And so he would go down there and he would go down to Corinth. And the Bible says in verse 3 that there he abode 3 months. And when the Jews, this is significant, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria. What's this all about? Well, it was Passover. And I believe Paul was going to try to get over to Syria and for Passover to celebrate that. But that was not going to happen. God had a different plan. And what we see here, notice when he was going to do that, it says that there were Jews that laid in wait for him. Well, remember the context. Can we have our map back real quick? Sorry about that, men. We may reference it from time to time. But as Paul would have been down here in Greece visiting Corinth, he was planning on going from here. He was going to get back over to Syria. He was going to make himself available there to the time of the Passover, and he was going to make his way there. But God shut the door, and it says when he would have sailed, he could have done a straight shot. But nevertheless, he turns back and goes and is going to go back up north to Macedonia. And he's going to visit those churches again. What was going on here? Well, during that time, they made it a point for Passover that there would be groups of Jews, because there were communities of the Jewish people around here, just where Paul was preaching the synagogues, and they would get on a ship together and go into Syria. Well, guess what? From what the Word of God declares here is that there was a plan to take his life. It's going to take his life. Sounds like it would have been a perfect opportunity. These small boats. Here we are. We got this Paul. Remember, don't forget, you think these people had forgotten about what had happened there in Corinth? You think these people had forgotten on what had happened in these different regions where Paul had been? Oh no, they had not forgotten. And they hated Paul. And they wanted to do away with him. But God was watching over him. God was protecting him during his journey. And I want you to be encouraged tonight that God is protecting you during your journey. Whatever comes your way, Christian, some of you are facing trials tonight. I want to tell you, you trust the Lord in this journey. God's using it. God's going to use it in your life to better you. And it is precious the way God does that. I can't explain it. It's not the way I would have done things. And you could say the same thing. But when you look back at God's leading, you trust Him for the journey. And so what does Paul do? It says he purposed to return through Macedonia. He's going back north up into those churches of Philippi, Thessalonica, and he's going to greet them again, spend some time with them, and that's where he's going to meet these other brethren. Now, something interesting to note about verse number 4, notice he gives about three different groups here. Okay, you have several names here that are mentioned there, Berea, and of the Thessalonians, that would have been churches in Macedonia. And then Aristarchus there in Secundus, they would have been churches of Galatia. And then the churches of Asia, we see Tychicus and Trophimus. What does this represent here? I believe from my study of this passage, there was accountability with Paul. Because remember, what was Paul carrying? Money. He was carrying money, and I believe Paul was a man of God who always tried to go above reproach. And he wanted to be accountable with handling all these funds that are going to the poor saints of Jerusalem. He has these men accompanying him. And so that is interesting to note, people that he had influenced, men who were trusted in these churches that he had started, and they're going together. But notice with me verse number 5. It says here that these going before tarried for us at Troas. Now, this is where we're going to see the first person plural begin seeing it again. In verse 5, the word us. Verse 6, we. At the end of verse 6, we. Well, what's going on here? Well, to me, it's obvious. It looks like Dr. Luke, who's the writer of the book of Acts, Dr. Luke is rejoining the team because we see the first person plural picking up again. And that tells me also that there's a good possibility that Dr. Luke was left in Philippi. You say, well, what difference does that make? I don't know all the differences it makes, but one thing that I see as we follow the Apostle Paul in his footsteps, he trusted God for the journey. He left the doctor in a place. He would leave Aquila and Priscilla in a place. He would leave Apollos in a place. He would often be looking for this person. And as we're going to see, he's going to be looking for Timotheus at a point. But he just was trusting God during the journey. And God provided him for him every step of the way perfectly. And my friends, I don't know what is burning your heart tonight in your journey with Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, if you will trust Him tonight, you can trust that He will take care of you. He will meet you right where you are. And I tell you, I know that there are times of antagonism that you feel is coming from different directions. But trust in the affection of your Lord and Savior who cares about you. And trust in the people of God that He has placed in your life through your local church and even parents and family members and friends that will encourage you. Know that the Lord can be trusted in the journey. We see that Dr. Luke says here that we tarried. In verse 5, it's interesting. He says, these going before tarried for us at Troas. What does that mean? Why didn't Paul and Dr. Luke just travel with this group? They were all together. They were going back to Troas. And why is it that they didn't go? I don't know. But I know one thing. Paul was a man who was led by God's Spirit. And if there was something that came up there that needed to be dealt with, Paul took that time to do it. And it says they caught back up with them. Verse 6 says, and we sailed away from Philippi. That's where they were. That's where they were encouraging the brethren. And after days of unleavened bread, the Passover, it says, and they came them unto Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, I don't know what was all going through Paul's mind, but this had to be interesting. From the second missionary journey to toward the end of the third missionary journey had been about 5 years from the time that Paul got that special call, that Macedonian call. and basically who will come and help us. So 5 years, and just imagine all the emotions flowing through Paul's mind of what he had seen God do. And I'm going to take the liberty here to quote our friend and missionary that we support, Todd Bell. When he was here in our missions conference, not this past year, not this just past one, but the one before, he preached a message and he gave the phrase, "No steps, no stories." Imagine the stories that the Apostle Paul would have missed out on in seeing God miraculously move if he wouldn't have answered that Macedonia call. He took the steps of faith. And even though when it looked like the whole world was against him and coming down on him, quite frankly, we see Paul just inching forward. He's moving forward. He's moving forward. He's marching forward for the glory of Jesus Christ. He was trusting the Lord for the journey, wasn't he? For his provision. And he stayed there in Troas for a certain amount of days. And then we're going to see how God is going to lead them into a special meeting. And I'll get in that the next time. But while you're looking there, would you look with me just for a minute over to, you can hold your place in Acts. And I just want us to take a quick look in light of trusting God for the journey at Proverbs 16:3 and Psalm 37:5. Look for a pen here. I got one. Yep. All right. Go to Proverbs 16:3 and then Psalm 37:5. All right. So we'll look at Psalm 37:5 first, and then we'll go over to Proverbs and look at 16:3. So first, let me draw your attention to Psalm 37, verse number 5. Notice what it says here. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Notice with me over at Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I want to draw your attention to that word commit. That Hebrew word is the same. I may not pronounce this correctly, but from what I understand is the Hebrew word galal. That word galal means to roll. That is the true definition of this word commit here. It means to roll. And I believe what I am seeing here in this text is I believe what Paul made it a practice to do in his journey with Jesus Christ and serving Him. He continued to roll his burdens upon the Lord. He continued to roll his life upon the Lord. When you roll something, it carries the idea of just releasing and letting it go. You're rolling something, you're rolling your works, you're rolling your thoughts, and you're rolling yourself upon the mercy and grace of God. And when I look at the Word of God here and I think of these two verses where we see we committing ourselves unto the Lord, as we saw in 37:5, and we see if you continue reading Psalm 37, there's so many synonyms there of resting and of course trusting and we see delighting and those things. But commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I want to tell you something. You're on a journey with the Lord. And you can mark it down tonight. If you will trust Him, your steps will be so established. You will be right where you need to be. And don't you worry tonight in any way, my friend. Do not let anxiety overcome you in any way. Because that is giving a foothold. It is giving a place for the devil to wreak havoc in your life. And to basically help, he's going to render you living a defeated Christian life. But I'm telling you, I believe Paul just committed his way into the Lord. I believe he committed his thoughts into the Lord. I mean, how else can you explain him when he's getting ready to get on a ship and go to Syria? All of a sudden he says, "Up! I think I'm going to be going to Macedonia." Because you're talking about a man of God whose mind and his senses were in tune with the Lord. And tonight, if you are worrying in any fashion, if you have anxiety in your life, if you are falling into under the spirit of defeat because you've been antagonized in some way, I'm telling you, you are not going to be in tune with the Lord. You're not going to hear His voice. You're not going to hear His direction. Your ways are not going to be established. It's not going to come to pass very well. But if tonight, if you and me, if we'll decide, you know what? I am going to commit my way into the Lord. I'm going to commit my thoughts into the Lord. And I know it's going to come to pass. And I know my feet, my life will be established. Rolling ourselves upon the Lord. Tonight, as we think about trusting God in the journey, and as we look at the Apostle Paul's life there back in Acts chapter 16, we're going to see more of this. And he's just trusting the Lord. He's going to have to deal with something that none of us will ever probably have to deal with. At least I don't. I don't hope to deal with it. But that's one of you falling asleep and hitting your head and dying, and me having to come and revive you. I hope that doesn't happen. But nevertheless, that's what he's going to run into as God continues to open doors for him to minister for the gospel's sake. Let's trust God in the journey. He's going to take care of us. Would you pray with me? Lord of glory, I'm thankful for the example of the Apostle Paul as we study the book of Acts. I thank you for his love for the churches and the church's love for him. Lord, we need each other, and I pray you'd convince us of that. Lord, please, please deliver us from the spirit of seclusion. I'm afraid it's too prevalent in our churches today, where we're secluded in our true character. We're burdened. We've been antagonized by some trial, by some defeat, some failure, where we've been opposed. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have the spirit of Paul tonight, to not let that get us down, rob us of our joy. Lord, help us to stand strong tonight, confident in you, knowing that we can trust you in the journey. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful. We love you, Lord. We really do love you, God, not like we should, but God, by your power, we're going to grow in that. We're going to grow in our trust of you. Lord, we're going to trust you tonight that you're good, that you're gracious, that you're leading us, that you're protecting us, and that you will lead us in a right path if we will roll ourselves upon thee. Oh God, be magnified tonight, even in this service. With heads bowed and eyes closed.